I'd like to speak about two giants tonight, one in the past and one in the future, the soon coming future. I'll just firstly read about the one in the past. So I'd like to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. That's page 377. It's quite a long passage, but you need to read it to get the whole story. So 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1. The Philistines assembled their armies to battle and were gathered together at Socoh, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Socoh and Azekah in Ephzazim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and encamped in the valley of Terebinth and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and the ravine, or the valley, was between them. And there went out a champion from the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, and he had a helmet of bronze upon his head, and he was clothed with a corselet of scales, and the weight of the corselet was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had greaves of bronze upon his legs, and a javelin of bronze between his shoulders. And the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And the shield bearer went before him, and he stood and cried to the ranks of Israel, and said to them, "Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I the Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose for yourselves a man, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to smite me, then we will be your servants. And if I overcome and smite him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I have defied the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, and they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Then verse 16, the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said to David his son, "Take, I pray, for thy brethren this ephah of parched corn and these 10 loaves, and carry them quickly to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of the 1,000, and visit thy brethren to see how they are, and take a pledge of them." Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Terebinth fighting against the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took his charge and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the wagon defence, and the host which was going forth to the battle array shouted for the fight. And Israel and the Philistines put the battle in array, rank against rank. And David left the things he was carrying in the hand of the keeper of the baggage, and ran into the ranks and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the ranks of the Philistines, and spoke according to the same words. And David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were greatly afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that comes up? For to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who smites him, him will the king enrich with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that smites this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people told him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that smites him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard while he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. He said, "Why are you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "What have I now done? Was it not laid upon me?" And he turned from him to another and spoke after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And the words were heard which David spoke, and they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said to Saul, "Thy servant fed his father's sheep, and there came a lion, and also a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I seized him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant smote both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living gods. And David said, Jehovah, who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Go, and Jehovah be with thee. And Saul clothed David with his dress, and put a helmet of bronze on his head, and clothed him with a corslet. And David girded his sword upon his dress, and endeavoured to go, for he had not yet tried it. And David said to Saul, I cannot go in these, for I have never tried them. And David put them off him, and he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag that he had into the pocket, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and approached David, and the man that bore the shield was before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was a youth and ruddy, and besides of a beautiful countenance. And the Philistine said to David, Am I a dog that you come to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the heavens and to the beasts of the field. David said to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with sword and spear and with javelin, but I come to thee in the name of Jehovah of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will Jehovah deliver thee up into my hand, and I will smite thee, and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines this day to the fowl of the heavens, and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth shall know that Israel has a God, and all this congregation shall know that Jehovah saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is Jehovah's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and advanced to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the ranks to meet the Philistine, and David put his hand into the bag and took thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David overcame the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and smote the Philistine and killed him, and there was no sword in the hand of David. And David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath, and killed him completely, and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw their hero was dead, they fled. This is the first giant that I wanted to speak about tonight. Perhaps the first thing that you get the impression of when you read this story, which is, as we know, is a true story. It's a true story of real bravery and faith on the part of a boy who was a teenager. He would have been a teenager, a young man. We don't quite know exactly how old he was, but he was the youngest of the family. He'd been anointed to be king in the previous chapter, some of the previous chapters in the book. But the most important thing about David was that he trusted in the Lord. He trusted in God. But I want us to think perhaps for a moment about... Welcome, do come in. I want us to think perhaps for a moment about how the children of Israel felt. We read from 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel 17. How did the children of Israel feel when they were faced with this giant? How did they feel? The giant said to the children of Israel, Give me a man who's ready to fight with me. And if you defeat me, we will be your servants. But if I defeat you, you will be our servants. Everything about this giant is meant to be scary. We were covering it in the Sunday school this afternoon. I asked whether anyone thought that they would step forward if they saw this giant standing there ready to attack. This is the great enemy of God's people. And he inspires fear, doesn't he? We read here that in verse 11, they were dismayed. The people of Israel were dismayed and greatly afraid. The enemy who is against us seeks to instill fear in us. He threatens the people of God, doesn't he? And he threatens all of mankind. He threatens all of humanity with fear. And he threatens with fear of death, doesn't he? He threatens David with giving him his flesh to be for the food for the fowl of the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. The enemy comes not but to steal and kill and destroy. That's the work of the enemy. The enemy of your soul, dear friends. But David has complete and full faith and trust in God. Notice what it says about Goliath. His height was 6 cubits and a span. These numbers are always very interesting. And he has everything that you could imagine that speaks of man's imagination, man's armour. Every type of armour. He's fully equipped for battle, isn't he? But he insults the true God. He comes out and he curses the God, the true God, the God of the Israelites. And so he's against God. But this giant is a great, fearsome enemy of God's people. He says, choose for yourselves a man. And then David is sent there through God's guidance. Because of he ends up going there and taking food for his brothers, his older brothers. And he's the most least likely person to have been able to go and fight the enemy. And the enemy continues to threaten for 40 days. This is what the enemy does, the enemy of our souls. He continues to threaten. And he has great power in his hand. Outwardly, he looks very great and powerful. But David has full and complete trust in God. And notice that David says to Saul, I will go down and fight with him. David has full trust in God because he has defied the armies of the living God. Notice in verse 13, he has defied the armies of the living God, and he fully trusts that God will deliver him into God will deliver the Goliath into the hand of David. The enemy that we have, dear friends, is just as a fearsome enemy, if not even greater. And I want to just, before I go on any further in this passage, I want to just read one passage in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. So that's page 1448. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. The children partake of blood and flesh. He also in like manner took part in the same, that through death he might annul him who has the might of death, that is the devil, and might set free all those who through fear of death, through the whole of their life, were subject to bondage. Goliath in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel 17 held the whole of the children of Israel in great fear. And the fear that we are under, that mankind is under, every single human being is under the fear of death. We all naturally fear death. And as a result, Scripture tells us that we're under bondage of sin. We're under the bondage of sin through fear of death. Because naturally, we don't want to die. We love life. But the eternal death lies before all those who have not yet been forgiven of their sins. Goliath holds, the enemy holds people in fear. But, dear friends, the good news is, in the Gospel, that David, the answer to David is the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you noticed the parallels here? The Lord Jesus is referred to as the Son of David. You often get him referred to as the Son of David in the Gospels. And David goes forward with perfect, complete trust in God. And he notice what he says to the Philistine. First of all, the Philistine despises him, doesn't he? So, the Philistine in verse 41 came on and approached David, and the Philistine disdained him or despised him. That's a very strong word. He mocked him. He despised him completely. What? And he says, "Am I a dog that you come to me like this?" And the Philistine not only did that, but also cursed David by his gods. The Philistine seeks to, the enemy seeks to curse God's people. And we're all under the power of the curse of sin. We are all under the curse because of the fact that we're all sinners and away from God. And he says to David, "Come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the heaven and to the beasts of the field." Like I said earlier, the enemy comes to kill and steal and destroy. That is the enemy of your soul, dear friends. The Philistine represents the devil, the enemy of your soul. And we have an enemy that's just as fearsome, even more fearsome than Goliath. And the only answer to this, dear friends, is the son of David. The great David's greater son. David here is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He reminds us of in many years later, the Lord Jesus Christ would come into this world to fight a far, far greater battle than the battle between David and Goliath. David says to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin." The weapons of this world. The weapons and methods of this world. "And yet I come to you in the name of Jehovah of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. They that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the message of the gospel tonight, dear friends. The power is in the name. You notice when you read this passage, David has great faith, but that's the basis of his faith. His faith is in the name. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ is what we have in the Gospels. There is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. David had complete faith in God. And we are saved by putting our faith and trust in the God who has sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. We face an enemy far greater than Goliath. There's so much detail in this passage, I haven't got time to cover it fully. But David says to the Philistine, I will deliver you. This day will Jehovah deliver you up into my hand, and I will smite you and take your head from you. Verse 46. And all the earth shall know that Israel has a God. Many years later, many centuries later, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Son of David and the Son of God, the perfect, spotless, holy Lamb of God, came into this world to fight a far, far greater battle than we see in 1 Samuel 17. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as it says in Hebrews, took part in flesh and blood. That means he came down from heaven into this world and actually took on human form like us, fully God and yet fully man, took part in flesh and blood that he might through death, notice that in Hebrews 2:14, annul him who has the might of death. There's a tremendous parallel between that verse and what David did to Goliath. He might defeat him. The Lord Jesus Christ has defeated him who had the might of death, that is the devil. Dear friends, the reason that we have the gospel tonight is because a far greater victory has been won by the Lord Jesus Christ in coming into this world to die on our behalf, to go to the cross and defeat the devil, him who had the might of death, and set free all those who through fear of death, the whole of their life were subject to bondage. The whole of the camp of Israel were in desperate fear of this Goliath. He shouted at them for 40 days. There was no answer for 40 days from them. And yet David came forward as the saviour of Israel. He saved Israel that day. The Lord Jesus Christ has come into this world not just to save Israel, but to save the world. God does not desire the death of a sinner, but desires that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So look, the devil is defeated. The devil was defeated ultimately by the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. And everyone that's put their faith and trust in the Son of David, great David's greater son, has that victory in their hearts and knows the deliverance from the devil, him who has the might of death, that is the devil. Do you have that assurance of victory over the enemy, dear friends? Do you have that assurance of victory over the fear that the enemy would seek to instill in you? We live in a society today where there is much fear. Many forms of fear are put at us. Many forms of fear of all kinds of things. That is the devil's business. The devil's business is to hold people in fear. We can be delivered from fear. It says, set free all those who through fear of death, through the whole of their life, were subject to bondage. Have you been set free from that bondage? Have you been set free from that fear? Every true Christian has been set free from that. In just a similar way to the way that the children of Israel were set free from these threats from Goliath. And he was defeated. And you notice that David defeats him by taking 5 smooth stones out of the brook. And it was only one stone that was needed to defeat Goliath. There's so much detail in this passage. We can study it in much more detail at another time. But David uses one stone. And it hits the giant in the middle of his forehead, just where the armour isn't covering. It speaks about the weakness of man, the impressiveness, outwardly the impressiveness of man in all his arrogance away from God. The Philistine perfectly depicts an arrogant, wicked man away from God. And God brings him down with one small stone. But David trusts in the name of Jehovah, the name of the God of the armies of Israel. So David defeats him, and there was no sword in the hand of David. He cuts off his head, having killed him completely. Dear friends, the greatness of the victory that the Lord Jesus has won over death is as great as that. That's why there's such a link with Hebrews 2. Set free those who through fear of death, through the whole of their life, were subject to bondage. The Lord Jesus Christ has died at Calvary's cross, dear friends. The greatest scene of the scene of the greatest victory that there's ever been won. The cross of Calvary, where the Lord Jesus Christ, with his own precious shed blood, can wash us clean from every sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from every sin. Does that apply to you, dear friends? Have you been washed clean by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ? We were thinking about that at Sunday school this afternoon. I asked one of the children, what's the evidence that Jesus has won the victory? The evidence is the empty tomb, dear friends. The evidence is the tomb is empty. Jesus is risen. The wonderful story of Jesus going into death to die on our behalf. He died the death deserved by us. During those 3 hours of darkness, he had laid upon him the sins of the world. He had laid upon him our sins and iniquities. But he has won the greatest victory that there is. Dear friends, every true Christian, everyone who has put their faith and trust in what he has done and repented of their sins and put their faith and trust shares in that victory, and we look for him to come. That's the giant of the past. This is quite unusual, but I want to read about, supposedly, a giant that's coming. I'm going to read from a printout from a website that I came across recently. I'll just read selected parts of it. It's entitled, The Giants Are Coming. The Giants Are Coming. the tallest moving statue in the world. The giant will be the cutting-edge visitor attraction for the 21st century. It features the world's tallest moving statue, standing over 10 stories high. It has millions of programmable LED pixels, giving it the ability to instantly take the form of any man or woman, boy or girl. Every hour, the giant will transform itself into an exemplary man or woman and will also have the ability to speak or sing to the crowds that gather below. It is a way of producing a giant selfie. It's the world's tallest moving statue, the world's most unique digital billboard, the world's most sensational selfie. It instantly transforms itself into any image. It sings and speaks. View the city from the shoulders of a giant. I'd now like to read briefly from Revelation 13. Revelation 13, verse 11. That's page 1500, 1500 in this Bible. Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. And I saw another beast rising out of the earth, and it had two horns like to a lamb, and spake as a dragon, and it exercises all the authority of the first beast before it, and causes the earth and those that dwell in it to do homage to the first beast, whose wound of death was healed. And it works great signs that it should cause even fire to come down from heaven to the earth before men. And it deceives those that dwell upon the earth by reason of the signs which was given to it to work before the beast, saying to those that dwell upon the earth to make an image to the beast, which has the wound of the sword and lived, and it was given to it to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast should also speak, and should cause that as many as do not do homage to the image of the beast should be killed. And it causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free and the bondman, that they should give them a mark upon their right hand or upon their forehead, and that no one should be able to buy or sell, save that he had the mark, the name of the beast, or the number of its name. Here is wisdom. He that has understanding, let him count the number of the beast, for it is a man's number, and its number is 666. Now, I'm not saying that what I read from that website directly ties in with this passage in Revelation 13. But it gives us a hint and a clue about things that are happening in today's world. And there's lots of parallels all through the scripture. King Nebuchadnezzar set up an image of gold, and everyone had to bow down and worship the image. And if not, they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. There's lots of parallels all the way through scripture. God knows the future, but what we do know is that the end of times are near. We often say this in the preaching, but the preaching becomes more urgent week by week. There are many hints and indications in today's world that man, in all his arrogance away from God, is setting up a one world system away from God. The number six keeps coming up. Watch out for the number six. There's much more that could be said about this. But the giant in the Old Testament inspired awe and terror, didn't he? The image in Nebuchadnezzar inspired awe and terror for those that didn't bow down. This beast is intended to inspire awe and terror for those that don't give the worship to it. Many, many clues that we're in the last days, but the Lord Jesus Christ has won the victory. The devil is a conquered enemy. The world is a conquered enemy. And the Lord Jesus in John chapter 16 verse 33 says, "Fear not, for I have overcome the world." The Lord Jesus Christ has won the victory for those that put their faith and trust in him. But it's interesting to see how things are heading up in this world, away from God. And many, many signs and indications once more that we're in the last days. The last days while mercy's door is still open. God is still waiting upon men, women and children across the earth to repent and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only Saviour. There is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. May we have an assurance of salvation before it is too late. We know that evil is rising in the earth. Many, many signs that the evil is getting worse and worse. We were looking at it this afternoon. The love of many shall grow cold. Parents against children. Many, many things. Signs in the Old Testament all the way through. Daniel speaks about knowledge. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Knowledge is increasing exponentially through the use of technology. How evident it is that we're in the end of times. And that makes the gospel urgent. That makes the gospel has always been urgent. But the gospel is especially urgent in these last days. May we have an assurance of salvation. May we know that we're safe with him. May that we're looking for the Lord Jesus to come. We're looking for him to come and for his people. And that is the reason we have the gospel here once more. May we, everyone here, have an assurance that we have been put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been washed clean by his blood and ready to meet him when he comes, for his name's sake.